This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hi, everybody. Cheryl from Unleashed. And today I have a very interesting, exciting show. I'm here with Shane and Laura, and they're going to tell us about their wheelie pups. These are angels. These are people that take rescue pups that probably nobody else would adopt because they require so much work. Hi, Shane. Hi, Laura. How are you?
Hello. Good afternoon. How are you today?
Hi. Good afternoon.
So before we talk about the pups, let's get a little background on yourselves. Age before beauty. Who's going first?
That'd be me. I'm the older one. I am a middle school math teacher, and I sort of fell into the whole wheelie dog thing by accident. I had been an animal lover and had two dogs for about 19 and a half years, and then something magical happened, and that's kind of how we fell into the wheelie dogs. But I've been an educator for the last 20 plus years, started teaching up in New England and then moved to Florida and taught elementary school and then moved into middle school, and that's where I am now, and I love it. So that is my full-time job in addition to having the wheelie pups and their fur brothers and sisters. So we have a total pack of 16.
16?
Yes.
16 total, yes.
16 candles.
Yes.
Exactly.
And Shane, you are the primary caregiver for all 16.
That's correct.
So you wake up at the crock of dawn?
We wake up before that, way before that. Someone's always got an issue somewhere or a little spat where they're wrestling each other.
And they're all small, right?
Yes.
They're all small. The only large dog we had was about 60 pounds. He was a golden retriever, German Shepherd mix. And he passed away of old age just about 6 to 8 months ago.
Wow.
So the rest of them are all 24, I think, is our heaviest. 24 pounds.
That's not with their wheels.
No. Well, that's just our chubby little curly poodle mix.
Well, I have to say they are very happy. So they certainly do not know that they have any disabilities.
They don't. And that's like, so I bring them to my classroom sometimes.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I started doing that when I was teaching at a predominantly Haitian school. Sometimes children are fearful of dogs. And so one thing I started doing was bringing Max, because Max is very gentle and he's very sweet. And I just sort of let him roll around. And as he was doing that, the kids would come out and they would kind of, you know, they just sort of look at him at first, and then they very slowly ask if they could pet him or touch him. And I did that through aftercare for about a year. And then what started to happen was they wanted to see them more and more. So I started bringing Max to school. And through doing that, I broke down some barriers for some children who really were fearful of dogs, because seeing them being disabled but being normal,
whether it's to kids or to people that have normal pets or whatever with no disabilities, they get to see, as you said, Cheryl, that you can tell that they're very happy. You know, we've run into you at the dog park several times, and they just zip around and have no idea that there's any different from any other animal.
No, because they really keep up with the other dogs, that I could say.
They jump off curbs, they chase squirrels and lizards.
Because they're dogs.
They're dogs. They're happy, little, excitable dogs.
Yeah. So how did you get into this, Shane? I mean, you just went along with what Laura said was going to be, because you are the primary caregiver. Why don't you tell me what your day is like?
I usually get up between 4:30 and 5:30. Try to let the ones that don't need the wheelchairs, like try to get them in the backyard and everything, just because it's not daylight yet. When Laura gets up to start work, we automatically start the cycle of bathing, which some of the ones that in our wheelchairs need to be expressed, which means you have to squeeze their bladder to get the most urine out of them that you can. So we start out with a bath, and we have a nice big kitchen sink, and they rotate out. It's kind of like a ballet that she and I have going back and forth. She tells me when she's ready for the next one, and I carry them over to the sink and start drying off that one, and just go from there.
Wow. And you mentioned to me that you take them to rehab. Every day you go?
Once a week we go to rehab. We can't afford to go every day.
How many do you take to rehab?
Three. We have three currently in rehab right now. Physical therapy and rehabilitation.
And acupuncture.
And it obviously helps because they are healthy. And how old are the ones in the wheelies?
They range anywhere from about 3 years to about 10 years. The seven wheelchairs.
And how did they get that way?
A couple of them were in car accidents. One was at doggy daycare, and they actually dropped him on his head and broke his spine.
A few were hit by a car. So each one has their own unique story. The one who's barking right now, Bunny Rabbit, he actually started off in Mexico. A woman up in Canada, she rescues out of Mexico and Texas. And so Bunny Rabbit had been hit by a car and was sitting in a shelter in Mexico. They moved him to Texas into another shelter, and they were going to euthanize him. And this woman saw him and just said, I want him. So she actually pulled him, and he came to us because she saw me on Facebook that I had already had two wheelie pups. Kiki, another one of ours, is from New Orleans. She had gotten to New Orleans via Texas. And again, they think that she had IVDD and the owners didn't want her, so they let her free.
Well, what is that? What is that?
It's a disc disease that can be onset either by trauma or, in our case, the two dogs that have IVDD, which is Max and Kiki, it happened because they were dropped or they were hit. Something where it wasn't like a runover type situation like some of our other little guys. It's a disc disease that affects their disc.
Degenerative disc disease.
There you go.
That they, once they have a trauma, and whether there's been surgery or medications like acupuncture or injections, the discs just keep degenerating. So rehab would be a moot point for them because it's their body getting older, just as we all know.
Gunny was our first wheelie pup. He was living with a homeless veteran, and another person wanted to give Gunny a better home. So they, and at that time, he was not paralyzed. He had not had any injuries. His wife had an alcohol addiction, and she wasn't watching him, and he got run over by a car.
Oh.
And Hollywood Animal Hospital wanted to put him down because they really felt there was nothing they could do for him. And the owner said, no, that's not okay. You're going to do something. So they ended up doing surgery, but he never regained his walking and he stayed paralyzed. But the people didn't know how to take care of Gunny. And because he didn't know how to take care of him, he just kept getting worse and worse. And his legs were becoming just open wounds because they never had him in a wheelchair.
He just kind of dragged around on the concrete and all that stuff.
So somebody, one of our friends, tagged me on Facebook and said, this dog, you know, looks like the type of dog you guys would like, and he's special. And I was like, what do you mean? And she said, well, he can't walk. Well, not yet. So I was like, all right, we'll watch him for a couple of days or a couple of weeks, and then we'll make a decision at that time. Well, he's still here 8-9 years later.
He's not going anywhere.
He's not going anywhere. But he was the catalyst that started I had never known about dogs in wheelchairs. I didn't know anything about how to care for them. Nothing.
It was way before all these commercials started.
With
wheelchairs and stuff like that. We just had to kind of wing it.
Right. Nobody was there to hold our hand and tell us what to do. There were, nobody was really posting anything about wheelie dogs. So we would bring him to all these events so that people could see how happy he was. Because we got him a wheelchair, we got him all fixed up. And it was at that point that we ended up getting our second wheelie dog a year and a half after we got Gunny. Because a rescue had Max in foster care for over a year and a half, and they just couldn't get him adopted, and they thought he was sad, and that maybe being around another wheelie pup, that he would kind of not be as sad. So we offered over the Christmas break several years ago to take him in and to let him hang out, and he's still here. And then it just sort of went like that. Our two newest rescues were an owner surrender. The rescue wanted to take them in. They were desperate, looking for anyone who had paralyzed dog experience. And that's pretty much the other reason why these guys are all here with us. there aren't people with the knowledge and experience that will take them in. So the rescues won't take them unless they know for sure they have somewhere to go.
That's how you get them.
So they all just kind of
end up here. So we now have our latest one is a mother and daughter, two little Shih Tzus, 3.5 and about 1.5 years old.
Wiggles and Wonky.
And Wiggles is paralyzed and will never walk. But Wonky goes to therapy and she's making really great progress, but she does not have a normal gait. She has a neurological disease that will continue to plague her the rest of her life. So she really won't ever be normal.
Essentially, her legs do like Seabiscuit, the little egg beater motion.
Yeah.
Is how her legs move, hence the name Wonky.
I mean, you got to come up with names for them all, right?
Well, yeah, I have to.
Yes. That's why our shirts have all their names. We have quite an interesting group. All 16 have very unique names.
Well, they have to. Now, Jane, you told me you have 11 different vets.
Somewhere in there. Over the years, we've probably been to more than that total, but at the moment, two or three go to this one place with the rehab, two go somewhere else, and that's was generally set up by the rescues that we got them from, because those particular vets would have an idea and a background on each of the dogs when we initially got them, and they had their initial intake and all that. But yeah, we've got quite a few different veterinarians.
And they all get along?
Yes.
The dogs are the veterinarians.
Dogs.
Famously.
They have their moments, and he sees a lot of that. He sends me stories and takes pictures of crazy stuff that he sees. I'm sure he can tell you about radar and some of the other shenanigans.
Well, he told me that things happen at night once the wheels come off.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a full-out wrestling match sometimes.
It's amazing.
They have a great old time at it, too.
So, with the show, we're hoping that we could get you some help. I mean, even if somebody out there that lives kind of near us in South Florida even wants to give you a break, because really, Shane, you're with them all day long. I mean, you're home with them.
That's true. There's days that I don't even leave our four walls.
Are you ever able to leave the house, both of you together, and leave them all in the house alone?
Just for short times. If we can go out to dinner or something like that, just for a couple of hours, maybe.
Okay.
But by that, at that time, pretty much, we have them all settled, and a couple of them take different medications for anxiety and what have you. So we kind of make sure that they're balanced out before we would even attempt to leave together. But I haven't been to a movie theater or a vacation or anything like that in years.
That's not going to happen.
Right, exactly.
Because you wouldn't enjoy yourself, because you'd be worrying.
I'd be completely obsessing over whoever was supposed to be taking care of them was doing it right.
And we've had people try to take on the challenge, and it just ends up being they feel so bad because they cannot keep up with the same routine that we have, especially regarding the expressing. When you ask someone who doesn't have a paralyzed dog to express a paralyzed dog, it's very simple, but they really are not comfortable. And I think that's, you know, one of the issues is we've never been able to really find a caregiver that is comfortable with wheelchair dogs.
It would have to be a groomer.
Actually, my two people who have tried have been groomers. You would be amazed at the challenge regarding finding a groomer, finding a vet, finding doggy daycare. If we did want to, you know, go away maybe for a long weekend, it has been quite eye-opening that wheelchair dogs are actually very much...
They're like toddlers. They're toddlers. Yes.
And they're alienated by those who don't understand. And that is something that I was shocked to find out, that they aren't treated necessarily the same by everyone in the community when we are looking for doggy daycare.
We went to 6 different doggy daycares for Gunny, and we ended up with one that seemed okay, but they would just laugh. He would launch himself out of his wheelchair and into a pool. He was just a little wild man.
Yeah. Well, at our dog park where we all go, they are certainly loved there. Everybody gets a kick out of them.
And that's kind of why we do take them out. When Shane can tell you, like, when we're walking on the street, what happens? What do cars do?
People pull right over onto the side of the road in the median and want to take pictures with them and just think it's just amazing that they can move and get around. And You know, they go to the bathroom on their own. That's a lot of people's biggest question is, are they able to go to the bathroom in their little carts, their little chairs? And the design, yeah, they pee and poop, right? Just like a regular dog. They know when they want to go to the bathroom, they'll sniff a spot and they want to pee on something. But when they get to the house, they don't necessarily know that they have to. So we go through cases and cases of diapers and stuff like that.
I'm sure. Now, obviously, they take medication.
Yes.
Yes, they do.
That's on an ongoing daily basis.
Sure. A couple of the blind ones get three different kinds of eye drops every day.
Right, because in addition to the ones in wheelchairs, we've also taken on blind dogs and deaf dogs.
The amputees.
Yeah, that are, you know, they're at their kind of senior years and people don't really want to take care of them anymore. So we do have quite a few of those that have medical expenses. And then, you know, the wheelie dogs, it is an ongoing medical expense, especially because they're extremely prone to UTIs. So
right.
It's all the expression of the bladder and all that stuff.
Right. Just like people.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Max had kidney stones, and that was a couple $1,000 operation.
And Gunny has had an operation.
Gunny's had an operation.
We had our dog who had cancer. And all those expenses we pay.
Now, also,
I'm not a rescue. I am not a vet. We do. We pay for.
Right.
So
hopefully the vets are kind to you. And, you know.
Yeah, that 10% really.
Yeah, goes nowhere.
I mean, look,
it helps.
Every little bit
helps. If anybody, and I always say, if anybody has anything extra that they don't want, like if I'm at the dog park and somebody is speaking to me and they're talking and asking, oh, you know, is there anything we can do? If people have extra dog food that they're not using, their dog doesn't like it. Hey, we'll take it. Diapers, piddle pads, like anything helps. Use things help. That is where we are, because we give everything that we have to our dogs, and we don't ask for anything from the public, because we know that when we bring them out, that's promoting awareness, but certainly every little bit helps.
Do they eat special food?
Two of them are on the Science Diet urinary formula, which is a special formula. And then Miss Pickles, who's our little roly-poly wheelie, she's very chubby, so she's on a weight loss food, which is also Science Diet. And then everybody else, we do try to do chicken and rice because that's the best for them. When you have a wheelchair dog, you don't want them to have tummy issues. And Max has pancreatitis. And if that blows up, as does his bowel movements, then we have a mess on our hands. Right. So we do try to keep everybody with very, you know, pure food, but they do eat.
And just like anytime you get more than one dog together, they're going to sneak bites of each other's food and all that sort of thing. So occasionally we end up a little bit of a mess.
So they all eat at the same time?
Well,
relatively. We try to feed them with that morning bath. So when they're up on the counter getting dried off and getting ready for the diaper change or whatever for the day, we try to feed them at that point so they can eat individually and what have you. But we do leave a bowl of dry food constantly full. So if anybody, you know, wants to have a little bite or something, there's always something there for them.
Right. So you take them out. I mean, the other dogs, they could go outside, like you walk them like.
Several times a day we walk. As we go, we only take four at a time. Lori actually broke her shoulder just under a year ago because she decided that five dogs was a good idea in the rain and got all tangled up and ended up breaking her shoulder on the sidewalk.
And what's the oldest dog you have?
Probably.
Oh, Peanut.
Peanut
or Poppy.
Tina is one of our blind ones.
Yeah.
She's probably about 13 or 14. We've had her for 9 years or 10 years.
And then there's Popeye with the one eye. We're not really sure how old he is. Out of the wheelie dogs, Gunny or Max is probably the oldest.
Wow.
Yeah, sure. 10 or 11 years.
Yeah.
You really have dogs that go to live, because other than that, they would be put down.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. And we have been told that. Several of ours have been on the chopping blocks, and we said, look, we'll take them, you know. And when people call, when the rescues call crying, saying they don't know who to call, and they're calling each other, and each one is telling them, call us. And they call, and they're like, we don't know what to do, and they're crying. And we say, hey, we're at max capacity. And then I look at Shane, and then I show him a picture.
And you take it.
And then that's it.
And then they get to meet you at the dog park.
Great.
Shane, what is your background?
I had a dog or two when I was a child, but I left. I was in the Marine Corps for 6 years. And when I came back, Lori and I had Tiki and Star, which were the two little Shih Tzus, before any of this. But I got injured at the tri-rail station and broke my leg all to pieces. And I was in a wheelchair for
a wheelchair just like the dogs. So you have empathy.
And it was just about this time, rolls together. They wouldn't even walk. We go on rolls together. And we just kind of bonded from there. And like Lori said, it just kind of just became organic for us. We just kind of get used to not sleeping all the time and stuff like that. It all works out. They certainly end up with a better life. And again, we get them out there so people can see that these kind of dogs need help too. And they're not anything to fear or anything like that. It takes a little extra help, but you know, it's a little practice and everything else. They can all have a perfectly normal life.
I wanted to ask, do you make the wheelies or does somebody make them for you?
There's a company. We've dealt with a couple of different companies that make them. We've been pretty happy with the ones that we have recently. They're a little sturdier, but still lightweight. And there's an integral system that builds into their harnesses that locks them in place. So you're not wrestling with, you know, trying to tie different knots around them to hold the wheelchair on and all this kind of stuff. So we have a company that we've been working with. They usually run, at this size, they run from about $350 to about $500. But likewise, over the time, when we found different models that work better for us, we've actually donated some of their older chairs that work better for different kinds of dogs, say a little shorter or thinner or what have you. So we always try to pay it forward again to other people who are willing to take on the challenge, you know?
It is a challenge, and you both are angels. There's there's a gold ladder for you somewhere.
My mom might disagree with you on that one.
So, let's tell our listeners, if they have anything extra, because every little bit helps, that you have a GoFundMe. What is it called? So they could give money.
It's called Rolling with the Wheelies, Wheelie Pups, that is. And they also have an Instagram that you can follow and watch their shenanigans at the dog park. They're called the Six Pack of Wheelies, like the number six pack of wheelies all together. But now we have seven wheelies, but we're going to keep that six pack of wheelies for now.
Okay, and spell the GoFundMe. Spell it. Okay.
So it's Rolling, R-O-L-L-I-N-G, with W-I-T-H, the T-H-E, wheelies, W-H-E-E-L-I-E-S.
Dot, dot, dot. Wheelie, W-H-E-E-L-I-E again. Pups, P-U-P-S. That is. Exclamation point. So Rolling with the Wheelies, Wheelie Pups, that is.
And we'll post this with the show. And hopefully we can help you out, because I don't even want to venture what it must run you. I mean,
they eat better than we do.
Into the ground, you could venture. Into the ground is where it runs us.
Yeah, I know, but you love doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, because this you can't do unless you love what you do. Plus, the dogs are great. They are really, you know, the ones that you've brought out, they really, you know, you could tell they're happy and have personalities. I mean, you know, the other day, the one that twisted over, you know, Laurie, you just picked that dog right up.
Snatching right up.
That's
you got
right.
Practice.
Ran down, and we just pick him up, and he goes right back on his way. And right. That's what it's all about. We are now passionate about this. This is something that could change people's lives. It can change people's views on anything. And I think this sort of fell into our lap to bring awareness and to change the world's opinion on wheelchair dogs. And they have challenges just like we do, but they persevere and they survive and they're happy. And that's the most important thing when I hear people who are like, oh my God, but they're so happy.
Look at the smiles on our faces.
I'm like, what would you think?
Right.
I make a lot of jokes and stuff like that about it, but what we get back from them,
love, devotion, and they're crazy for you, you know.
You know, you can tell that they're so grateful. So yeah, just so gracious and happy to see you. And they know that they might have a little more difficult time in life if it wasn't for us. So they try to give us that love right back.
Well, I hope that we could do something for you. And I hope that a lot of people who are listening could feel differently about animals, whether they are deaf or blind, because, you know, they're also overlooked a lot in the shelters.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. We have three that are blind that were shelter unwanted in the back room, And the only way we knew about them is somebody from a rescue had said, would you guys take in a senior pup that's blind? And we were like, absolutely. Like, he's a little teeny tiny chihuahua and he's blind as a bat. But then we also have Peanut, who's blind as a bat, and they're best buddies and they're their little senior citizens. They do their own thing, but they are overlooked. Many dogs at the shelter are overlooked because they are disabled and people are scared. If you don't know, then you fear what you don't know.
Right.
And I think it's changing now with commercials. I've been seeing a lot of specially abled, I like to call them that now, specially abled dogs. And that is bringing awareness. And you'll see some stuff out there about dogs in wheelchairs and all the other great things. But
I appreciate you opening up your menagerie of the 16 candles with us, because it really is. And the fact that both of you could laugh and get up every day and you have a job. No, it's a lot.
I mean, it is.
Taking care of one person who's disabled is a lot. I mean, that's why they have eight. And yeah, you are with 16 dogs, just walking, even 16 healthy dogs. And I mean,
we run a rotation, a regular rotation.
Yeah.
I have to say, I can't believe how well behaved they're being right now. This is incredible. They are like completely just chill.
Usually when they hear a computer voice or something, whether it's a movie trailer or whatever, they hear the echo from a computer and they usually have something to say about it. But they're all being pretty good right now.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on. I'm glad that you did reach out, because I really want to do this show. And hopefully something will come of it, because you really are very special people. And I'm really glad to know you, because we need people like you.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
So I just want to tell all my listeners, hopefully, that you can help us out here. If you want to help out, the name of the GoFundMe is the Wheelie Pups. And anything that you could give or help out with or spread the word would really help, because these are angels in our midst. These are animals that really need extra special care, and not everybody is equipped for it. So once again, it's Wheelie Pups, Wheelie Pups, Pups, and it's their GoFundMe. And I want to thank Shane and Lori, and you know, and the fact that you're an educator is a beautiful thing also. And I want to tell all my listeners to live life unleashed, and I'll see you next time. Bye bye, everybody.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.